Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Gagish of the Pettawitz Group, and welcome to the Demand Generation Essential Series. That was AC/DC, Back in Black. I always like to start the show with that theme. It kind of reminds me of the Intel ad that was recently run on TV where they were talking about the superstar. And really, the reason we designed this whole 12-week series was to help you as a demand generation marketer really become a superstar. So each week in this 12-week series, we will bring to you an interview with a demand generation practitioner. And here's the difference between this and a lot of things that you might participate in. We're not bringing somebody on board to tell you what to do. We're actually bringing someone and talking to them about how they did it. Because as a marketer myself, I know that's the way that I learned best. And today's show is number 5 of 12. And today's guest is Laura Zexter of TD Garden and the Boston Bruins. And to say that we are excited about having Laura would just be an understatement, because she has done some of the most incredibly cool things with multiple channels, social media. She's going to share with us a little bit about the golden ticket campaign they recently ran at the TD Garden. And she's also going to share with us a little bit about how they have set up subscription management. But before we get to the best part of the show, which is talking to Laura, let's do some housekeeping first. So for all of you folks who have picked up the telephone and have dialed a number to listen in, you need to hang up. Because the reason that the way you participate in Blog Talk Radio is not over the telephone. This is a live internet radio show that streams over the internet. So there's two ways that you can participate and listen. You can either go to the link that we sent to you in the email, or if you don't have a link and you don't have an email, you can just go to Blog Talk Radio and you can search on Laura Zexter, or you can search on subscription management, and that will bring you to today's show page. And when you get to our show page, the play button will be in red, and you just click on that button, and then our radio interview with Laura will be streaming live over the internet. So at some point toward the end of the show, I will have to take all these lines that are being taken right now for callers that are called in. But again, you don't need to use the telephone to listen to this. This is a great example of social media in that this is a live internet radio show that streams through the internet. Now, a couple of other ways that you can also learn more and participate more as we go through today's radio broadcast. There is a chat room that's available, and you can see the chat button. And in order to go into the chat room and to participate, talk to peers as the interview is going on with Laura, or to ask questions via the chat room, if you click on chat for the first time, they will ask you to register. It takes about 90 seconds to do. Really encourage people to do that before the show, but it's okay if you register to be in the chat room right now. That is no problem. And our today's chat room moderator is Tom Kahana. Tom facilitates our chat sessions every week. So if you have questions as we are talking to Laura that you either want to ask Tom or that you want Tom to make sure he gets over to Laura, just give us your questions in the chat room. Finally, the other way that you can really take this experience with Blog Talk Radio today and leverage it to learn more is to make sure that you have registered for this series. What we're doing for the folks that register is at the end of the show, we will have a recording of Laura's interview. We'll send that out tomorrow morning, and we'll also send an asset with it as well as the Q&A. So as we go through these 12 interviews with these 12 incredibly sharp demand generation marketers, we're actually creating a demand generation essentials toolkit. So if you register for the Demand Generation Essentials series, you will have access to all of these recordings and to all of the unique assets that were created as part of this program. And if you're not registered, you can go to our website, which is www.pedowitz.com. It's in the left-hand column. You can register, and then you'll have access to everything. Okay, so that's a little bit of housekeeping, and I went through that in about 4 minutes. I try to get through that as quickly as possible because Laura has so much stuff to share with us. So let me introduce Laura, and then we'll just begin our conversation. Laura Zexter directs the e-business department at the TD Garden in Boston. She leads all business operations around database marketing and research, where her team has built a strong reputation in the National Hockey League. Recent projects include electronic contracts for clients of the TD Garden. She has done multi-channel touchpoint marketing from a single database. She's definitely going to share that with us today. She's done point-of-sale stored value card programming and implementation of CRM and database management strategy. Now, that sounds like a fairly technical role, but the thing I'll say to all of our listeners is that if you live in this day and age of marketing, it is all about the very, very smart use of technology, and there's no end to the types of technology that you can use. And Laura and what she's doing at the TD Garden with the Boston Bruins is truly on the leading edge of what's happening in demand generation marketing. Laura continues to architect software systems where she supports sales, marketing, and box office with 5 primary implementations. And in addition, eBusiness runs the development and design of all custom reporting. And we all like to have reporting. We always want to get credit for the effort that we've done. From a solution to a business process to a system or campaign enhancement, the eBusiness department consults, designs, and executes solutions for the TD Garden and the Boston Bruins. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
We have so much excitement around this interview today. I think people are always, especially if the Bruins is your team and Boston is your town, but there's some kind of cachet when it comes to our sports teams. But I think the real cachet for the interview today is just how far you guys have gone with all the best practices in demand generation. And clearly, I just spent a minute or two kind of talking about what your responsibilities are. But how long have you been at the Garden? And tell me a little bit about how your role has morphed or how it's changed over the last 18 months.
Sure. I started here back in 2000. They established the e-business department back then. And it primarily was started to get new business. We didn't know what it was, but it was electronically. So they called it the e-business department. And it was 4 of us down here at the time. It has completely morphed from in the past 9 years to a point where, you know, I started off here as a database manager. We built custom software and applications. We wrote reports. I manipulated data just to create segments. And, you know, to a point where I actually manually updated our opt-out list as just a suppression list. Now, that was back in 2000. 2003 came, and you know, with the canned spam coming into play, we saw a need to support database marketing as a system itself. So we now, you know, continue to develop custom software applications. We help business process efficiencies. We streamline, automate workflow, and we traffic and control all the email marketing campaigns that leave the building.
So it sounds like you guys have changed a great deal in 9 years. What kind of competitive advantage do you think the e-business department gives to your organization?
We're an internal resource for any department or any person out there that works for the TD Garden or the Bruins. So people come to us when they're just looking to figure out how to store data, how to get an electronic campaign out there. And I see ourselves as the consultants around software solutions, anything that's going on, even with the social media piece of it now.
And that is so fascinating. And again, we're seeing more and more this marriage of marketing and technology is an absolute requirement in today's market. So the database that you're responsible for, how many contacts or how many records do you guys manage?
Oh, we're over a million records right now.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now, one of the things that we had talked about, kind of with that as a background, and again, I can't say enough, in the world of demand generation, you know, having someone on the team or having an organization like Laura's, which is kind of like a consultant to talk about technology, because in demand generation today, it really is all about knitting together marketing best practices with the technology that kind of empowers everything. And so with Laura, we're going to talk about three things that her group has helped TD Garden do. We're going to talk about how they approached subscription management, which I know for a marketer, especially on the B2B side, always gives us heartburn because we don't want anybody to opt out easily. So we're going to hear how Laura has handled that. We're also going to listen to Laura as she tells us a little bit about multiple channels and how they have approached that, including their use of social media. And then, of course, Laura's going to share with us the Golden Ticket campaign. So, Laura, why don't we start with subscription management and, you know, how do you approach it and how did you guys put it in place?
Sure. I've been through probably about a handful of email service providers, I should say. And between each model or each system that we went to, we developed a different model for subscription management. Our current model breaks it down into message preferences. So, for example, right now for our insiders for the TD Garden, our subscriptions are around on-sale and pre-sale notifications. If people want to receive news on special ticket offers for concerts, we have our special ticket offers for family events. Then we go down to, you know, college sports, to partner offers and promotions, and that's about it at that point.
Okay. Right?
So, and that's just our insiders for the TD Garden. Boston Bruins has the same type of messages, so we send out on message preference.
So now, how long have you guys been working with the notion of message preference and conducting or communicating with your constituents that way?
Right now, we're 4 years into this model. We find it's great because we know what people want. It's just, do they go and update their preferences as much as we want them to? That's what we're finding right now. So, what we're lucky to have is a one database model to where we actually push in all of their ticket purchasing habits and any other information that we can get from Axiom per se. So we can say, okay, even though this person just wants concert offers, we know that they have two kids at home and they may even want to go to a Disney on Ice show. So what we're looking to do is almost morph into activity-driven content within an email message. So if we know that you do have kids at home, we're going to stick in a family show into your newsletter that you get from us.
And what a great way to personalize and also to ensure that your customers, you know, come, they spend money, which is at the end of the day what you want to have happen. I want to go back to 4 years ago when you guys began message preferences. Before you were sending emails and communicating via message preferences, what were you guys doing, Laura?
It was just a straight up opt-in, whether you wanted messages from us or not.
Okay. And can you tell me what that transition was like? Because I think we have a lot of marketers who are, will they want to opt in? Do I have enough content that's valuable enough for them to opt in? So can you tell me what was that transition like to message preferencing?
Well, and because we have such a diverse product line here, we felt we needed to have some type of target marketing, if you will. So we went out with almost a campaign to say, okay, what are you interested in to our current subscribers? And with, you know, some motivation pieces behind it and saying, okay, go here, update your preferences and tell us what you really want so we deliver you the content that you're looking for. So we did this as we switched systems, and I want to say this was our second system into it. To say, okay, now that we're on this new system, we set up the system the way that we wanted the message, you know, the five different message preferences. We motivated people to click through, and they updated. If they didn't choose anything. We pretty much chose for them. And we always had the option out of every single email communication that leaves here is for them to update their preferences. So they always have that option to do that.
So as a result of you guys using message preferences, me as a potential consumer of anything from the TD Garden, you know, I would select, I want to get tickets about any Disney shows or, you know, premium seats at the Bruins, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. What kind of business impact has this type of communication had on your business?
Well, I could say that we kind of look at our email statistics in a way. We always like to say, okay, we need our click-throughs to go up. So if we're sending our email and no one's opening or clicking through, we know that they're not interested in what we're sending. So we can actually just go back to our email statistics, look at that, and then see what the transactions are against that. We can actually produce ROI off of our email campaigns.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, so we can say, all right, if they opened, clicked through, and they made a transaction to Disney on Ice, and we had a Disney on Ice message in that email, they received it, we're going to attribute that transaction to that email campaign.
That is great. And so this is these are statistics that you guys are tracking every day. I mean, these are the metrics that you really run the business on.
We have to, yes.
That's excellent. That's absolutely excellent. So I want to ask you another couple of questions about subscription management, because again, you know, clearly we can see in a B2C world, especially in the sports vertical, and we have a number of folks from the sports industry on listening to our broadcast today, but we also have a lot of B2B marketers. And again, the issue there is, you know, how much do I give them? One of the things that I'm hearing is that if you're going to have people choose what kind of information they want to receive from you, you have to have information that you can supply them.
Yeah.
So, and again, I think that's one of the issues with B2B marketers. They don't always have as much content there. But certainly any company that represents multiple channels, multiple different products, this type of personalization via the subscription management is very, very powerful. And Laura, I believe you guys use Eloqua to set your campaigns up.
Yes, we do. And I have an example for the B2Bs that we just did recently with the Eloqua platform, if you don't mind me sharing at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
It was pretty interesting, and it was you know, the first time that I've ever experienced or even heard of somebody doing something like this, and we have Eloqua to actually thank for it. We jumped into Eloqua in January, which is right around our premium renewal time, and this is our business market out there, the corporations that buy the suites and the club seats. So what we were able to do is create personalized URLs to a point where we could say, okay, go to tdgarden.com/... I'm just throwing it out there, Coca-Cola, and you can go to your personalized landing page where it shows a graphic of the type of seat that you're renewing, whether it's a suite or club seat, the information from the rep that actually is your representative to your company. And then what we also did was the landing page read back to Eloqua to see their account number. And we had their PDF contract they could actually download right there with their seating information, their rep. All they had to do was download it, sign it, and send it back for their renewal.
That is awesome. And when did you guys launch that campaign?
That was February.
That was February. And what was the result?
I'd like to say that we had people send back their contracts within a week. I'd like to say probably about 20%. Of our contracts came back that way.
That is fabulous. And with no phone calls, it was just, here's the email, it's time to renew, here's what you've done in the past, gave them some idea around, again, remind them of the value, here's your rep if you need to contact them, here's your contract, let's go. That's fabulous. What a great story.
And it was cool to them, which was great.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I remember I actually bought Eloqua was the very first system, very first marketing automation system that I ever bought, and they did something very similar when they engaged me in the sales process. It was all about me. right? Yeah. And it was it was just so cool the way they did that. And again, a great example of Web 2.0 types of technologies. And if you think about how you're interacting with somebody through a different medium, in this case, email, and things that you want them to do, you're just making it very straightforward and very easy for them. And how long did it take you guys to build out that campaign, Laura, using Eloqua?
From beginning to end, probably about 3 weeks. And again, we were doing a lot of research on functionality and how things were going to happen because it was a new system to us.
That is amazing. And again, just a great example of personalization, using a very smart marketing automation system, and really, really understanding your clients and making something easy for them to do in the grand scheme of things. Okay, so let's switch over to your use of multi-channels, because I have to tell you, Laura, this is an area for you guys I am just completely fascinated by. I mean, there's not a day that goes by where we don't talk to marketers and, you know, they want to use a whole bunch of different channels. Because, again, our buyers are in all of these different channels. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys have used multiple channels and what channels you're using and thinking about using?
Sure. Well, we are in the field. We pretty much jumped into the social media networking in the past 6 months. And, you know, it's pretty much new to a lot of businesses, a lot of people, and everybody's jumping into it at this moment as far as the consumers go as well. So it is fairly still new to everybody, and we're in it, and we have people engaged with us in those channels. So we use text messaging, Twitter, email. We use Facebook as well. We have a Facebook account. And that's it right now. Who knows what's going to come down the line?
There's going to be some new application tomorrow, and that's what I keep telling all my clients is Twitter today. Who knows what it's going to be tomorrow? I mean, that's the great thing about social media is that we're all learning and we're all experimenting. So tell me a little bit about how you guys began, kind of, where you jumped in, and what you've learned from jumping into social media in the last 6 months.
Well, And the Bruins is a little bit different than the Garden itself. The Bruins, they're on it on a communication for player breaking news. What's happening, because it's all up to the minute. So right now we're actually sending off if a player gets signed or traded, we actually send out a tweet. We update our Facebook, we send out an email, we do all of these things right now, which, you know, at this point, we don't know if one person is receiving all of this because they're signed up for each channel. So that kind of, makes it a little difficult for us to say, okay, are we communicating this type of messaging the right way? Because we've jumped into it so quickly and without taking it two steps back and saying, okay, what are we doing here? But in addition, they could all be receiving it right on their PDA. So
Laura, in your preference center, do you also ask them how they want to be communicated with, whether it's an email or Twitter or text or Facebook, or do you ask them that as well?
Right now, we do not. We're actually in the research phase of it right now. Today, we launched an online communication behavior survey. That where one of our objectives is to figure out how social media is a part of our overall marketing plan, and we're also learning how our patrons and fans wish to communicate and how they communicate,
excellent,
how often they communicate.
Excellent. I find, I was on the phone the other day talking with a marketer, and that's the kind, and she said, well, my VP is not sure that, you know, we really need social media. He's not sure that our prospects and our clients are there. I said, well, why don't you just go ask them?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. You can go look and try to find them, but ask them. So when did you guys launch the survey, Laura?
We actually launched it today around 11 o'clock Eastern time, yeah.
And when do you think you'll be closing it out?
Well, normally when you push out a survey like this, you know, you get your results within the first couple of days. But we're going to keep it out there for a week because we have it on our we have it on all of our websites. We have it on Boston Bruins TV. We pushed it out through via email to our subscribers. We pushed it out via text. We threw it on our our Twitter followers. So you know, we in the first hour we received back close to 2,000.
Wow.
So we'll see how that goes.
That's awesome. Excellent. I mean, again, what a great way, what a great example of you. I mean, just the fact that you launched the survey and you had it in so many places in so many ways, because, again, you know that's where your prospects are, okay? So which social media did you guys jump into first? Did you jump into Twitter first? What did you guys do first?
Well, on the Bruins side, I know that we started up a Facebook account, and we just had that fan page where, you know, we had the roster. We had just, you know, special breaking news updates, and then just this past and then we've had text messaging, and I know that's not the social media end, but we got into text messaging probably about, I want to say, 2 seasons ago. And Twitter, again, we just jumped into that, I want to say, 6 months ago. So everything's just fairly new to us, and these things change over time. So, you know, let's just say even in another 6 months, 8 months to a year, we'll push out the same online behavior survey to see how things have changed out there with our patrons, fans, and subscribers.
I think you're absolutely right. And again, kudos to you guys for just jumping in. A lot of times we see marketers who just feel like they're frozen. They don't know what next step to take. And what I like to tell people is that, you know, no small animals will be harmed, you know, when you start experimenting with these things. So that's kind of how you guys approach social media on the Bruins side. What have you guys done on the TD Garden side, Laura?
Well, TD Garden is fairly new. We actually started our Twitter account, and we're gathering information for our text messaging program through our Golden Ticket campaign.
Okay.
So
and why don't you go ahead?
So we, you know, although we don't have a text messaging program per se for the TD Garden yet, we have gathered that information for us, and it's on the back end just in case we, you know, once we do put something together.
So why don't we talk about the Golden Ticket? And I have to tell you, I was in Boston the week after I think that Golden Ticket was awarded, and that's every meeting I went into, that's all anybody was talking about was that guy, the guy, I think his name was Lynch, who won the Golden Ticket. So why don't you tell us about that campaign and what you guys do with that? Because I think that's a great example of using social media.
Okay. So, again, we used Eloqua with SMS, Twitter, email, and then I'll go into how we used some activity-driven content when we did receive new subscribers and leads into our database. So what we did, and I want to kind of get into the whole picture so you understand from beginning to end and what this campaign was about. So before the promotion, we created a redemption coupon that added value to our online subscription program. So for all of our insiders, we sent out an insider's pass. So what you could do is when the promotion came up, you were given a coupon for 2 TD Garden chocolate bars. And all so the chocolate bar promotion was that we produced 20,000 chocolate bars because the name of our building changed from TD Bank North Garden to TD Garden. And we wanted to do an unveiling. We wanted to put on a big event for the city of Boston so everybody knew our new name. So it was our Willy Wonka idea that the marketing team came up with, and we produced 20,000 candy bars, and we wanted people to come to our building, open up their candy bars, and there were different prizes inside from, you know, Disney on Ice tickets to, you know, wrestling tickets to, we had 3 chances that you could actually win season tickets to the Garden, Bruins, Celtics, and any concert that came here.
Wow, okay.
So before the promotion actually started, we sent out a coupon to our insiders groups and said, hey, here's a pass where you can get a chance for two chocolate bars when you come to the garden. Everybody else that came through was only allowed one. So that was where we added value for our subscription base right then and there.
Excellent.
So, and then during the promotion, if you didn't win, or even if you did get some type of tickets, we gave a second chance to win. You could enter online, or right then and there, we wanted to get people's attention since they were there. We asked them to send in their text their email address to us for their second chance to win, and we were giving away 10 game packs to the Celtics and Bruins.
And how many people showed up, and how many people actually participated in the text portion, I want to try to win again?
So we had, again, we had 20,000 chocolate bars. We actually had to cut the line off at some point. But I want to say about 18,000 came through. It's hard to tell how many actually came through the building, but we did get rid of all the chocolate bars.
Okay.
We had 830 inbound text entries. And then you could also, we used our online forms, and we had close to 6,000 entries just through the form itself. So it was pretty special. I mean, the thing about the text messaging is that we're capturing their email address at the event. So it wasn't like, hey, you know, go back home and go online for your second chance to win. We were doing it right then and there. So people opened up their phones, typed in their email address, and we got their information right then and there.
And that's absolutely awesome. I mean, again, I think that is really a great example of social media, because the thing about social media is that it's now. It's not waiting to tomorrow or 2 hours from now to do something. It's capturing people, you know, right then and right now. So you captured, and this is an interesting question for you, Laura. This is one that we talked about in the pre-interview, but I'm fascinated by this because I was sharing with somebody the other day the golden ticket story. And so you captured through people's cell phones, you captured, some number of email addresses of people. And I'm assuming that is now, those email addresses are now being housed in Eloqua, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with those?
Well, right away, if somebody texted in their email address or they came in online, we had three separate activity-driven content, I'll call it, that went out. So as soon as that email address came in, we said, okay, the system, I'll say we, but the system actually said, okay, who is this person? Are they already part of our subscription program? If not, go ahead and send them an email saying, hey, the fun doesn't end here. Why don't you sign up to be an insider? If they were already an insider and they had some type of Bruins interest on their account somewhere, we sent them information about the Winter Classic that we're having here in Boston on January 1st. And then if they didn't have any type of Bruins and they were already a subscriber, we actually sent them a ticket offer to the Jonas Brothers.
Excellent. And how fabulous is that? And did this came out to them in a follow-up email, or did it come in text as well?
That went to their email with the email address that they just sent us.
Okay. And again, excellent. I mean, just a great example of capturing somebody, of being able to segment them based on what your database is telling you about them, and then making sure they get right kind of offer. We didn't talk about this beforehand, Laura, but do you have any metrics on what happened as a result of those emails going out?
No, not on me right now, but I could get that to you, Debbie, that you can push out to your listeners.
I think they would really, really appreciate that, because again, I would think that you're kind of excited about things. You get home from the garden, you've got this offer, or especially the one about if you're not an insider, then become an insider. I would think that was extremely, extremely cool.
Yeah.
So did you guys also push? Did you guys use Twitter as part of this campaign as well?
Well, what we were able to do is track how the perception of this campaign was through Twitter. So, we were able to feed into our database the keywords like golden ticket, TD Garden, those types of messages that people were actually conversing about. So we were able to put that into our database now, and this is where all this new technology comes into play. It's, you know, it's wonderful that we were able to capture all of that data. Now, okay, you know, what do we do with it? It's a lot. We want to do something with it, but we were able to actually look at that data and kind of gauge how people perceived the promotion. So that's what we were able to do with Twitter during this promotion, this specific promotion.
And again, I think that's an excellent way to use Twitter, you know, especially when you can go out and grab the keywords, which is pretty easy to do these days.
Mm-hmm.
But Laura, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that I call the line. And, you know, when we talk about social media, we talk about, you know, it's being part of the discussion, it's listening. And yet we now have technology that allows us to, you know, automate responses regardless of the channel. So we can automate responses based on what someone has done in Twitter. We can automate responses back in Facebook and LinkedIn and you know, SMS. So where do you think the line is? Because I think a lot of marketers are kind of struggling with that right now. If you've got social media set up, where's the line between social media? Purists think it's supposed to be you're part of a conversation and you're adding to the value versus I'm selling something.
Mm. That's a very good question. And, you know, we're doing the research to understand what that is right now. With us, with Twitter right now, I see, and we have been practicing, just using it as an information push-out. You know, here, tickets are on sale now. When we're not driving them to do the transaction, but we are, you know, just pushing out the information through the TD Garden insiders piece. With our Bruins, you know, it's just pushing out information. And we started dabbling with last season almost like a closeout inventory piece where, you know, if we had just a ticket release at the last minute for a game, we felt it would be a good way, instead of sending out an email, that this would be a good medium or channel to push out, say, hey, you know, go to the box office and pick up your, you know, half price tickets for tonight's game because all of a sudden we got a rush of inventory back for release. You know, was the response good? You know, it wasn't, we didn't have any expectations on it. And neither did we want to use that channel as a sole source for people to transact business. So it's hard. It's difficult. And like I said, with this online behavior survey, we're going to figure out what our fans and patrons expect through each channel, whether it's just information that they want to receive through Twitter, whether it's just breaking news, whether it is last minute, you know, ticket releases, because some people are interested in that and they want that. Where I think it also blurs where we might actually have Bruins fans that are part of our Twitter for Bruins, but they're not around the Boston area, you know? So it doesn't really help us or even help them to say, okay, we just tweeted about an inventory, you know, sale for tonight's game, where they don't really care. So it's tough, Debbie, and I'm not sure if I answered your question. We're trying to research that right now.
No, I got to tell you, Laura, I think this is exactly where a lot of marketers and a lot of companies are right now. I think that, you know, we all are very, very interested in social media and what we can do with it. But I think you guys, again, are ahead of the game from a lot of companies in that you are using all these mediums now and you have all this information, and now, you know, where's the line? I mean, how far do you push? But again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. You know, good job for you guys going out and doing a communication survey. It's one of those very, very basic things. And, you know, as marketers, we always say we have to understand our prospects and our clients, and we say it over and over. And the same thing is true with social media. What are their communication preferences? And I think you guys are just living and breathing best practices examples every day for how to approach social media. So you jumped right in, you experimented, you're trying to find out from your constituents how and when and what they want to be communicated with. And I just, you know, I think it's absolutely brilliant what you guys are doing right now. And, of course, the golden ticket got so much publicity. And, again, it's just a great example of how you use multiple channels as a marketer. And when we talk about social media as a marketer, it is just another channel for us. And I think you guys do an absolutely great job of doing this. So I just it's always very exciting to talk to you guys and see what you're doing. So let me ask you this question, and then we're going to open it up for questions from both from the chat room and also callers. If you would like to call in and ask Laura any specific questions, the dial-in number is 646-478-5604, and you can begin calling now, 646-478-5604, and with questions for Laura, and then we'll also have some questions from the chat room. But Laura, I mean, you've been there for 9 years. I mean, you guys jumped feet first into the use of technology and the use of social media and knitting all of that together for improved segmentation, personalization, all of that to improve the relationship that you have with your caller base. So if you were going to be giving advice to a marketer who is just now beginning to look at social media and the use of multiple channels, what kind of advice would you give them?
I'd say the first thing you need to do is just go out and sign up for as many different online subscriptions as you can. I want to say that my e-marketing operations manager put it the right way, where she says, immerse yourself into the culture and then get a really good understanding of what your subscribers want. And if that's, you know, throwing out a survey of 3 questions, collecting data on the side, putting it all in one place. And then, and I know we didn't talk about it too much, which we could probably talk about in our Q&A, but what's most important is to keep those subscribers that you have engaged. Make sure that they're opening and clicking through and engaged in what you have to say in your content.
Okay, so what I heard you say is if you were going to be giving advice to a marketer, first of all, go out and immerse yourself, which I think is a great piece of advice that few marketers are listening to right now. I remember 12 months ago, I wouldn't have given you 2 cents for social media and its impact on marketing, maybe 14 months ago. And I actually was speaking with the Online Marketing Summit tour, and Erin Kalo, who runs the summit, said, Debbie, go get a Facebook account and start and get you a Twitter account. And he said, you just need to go start interacting with this stuff to understand it. I'm rolling my eyes in my head. I thought, Erin, I have a lot of stuff to do, right? Mm-hmm. Now I've got to keep up with Twitter and Facebook and, you know, just everything. And he said, just go do that. And I did. And it is the way that I learned that, plus a 20 and a 22-year-old daughter who really said, Mom, you got to understand social media better. But I think immersing yourself is a great first step. So as a marketer, if you don't have a Facebook account, if you're not in LinkedIn, and especially if you don't have a Twitter, because Twitter seems to be extremely relevant these days. And if you don't text, right? So you need to play with all of those elements. So I heard you say immerse yourself. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I heard you say, Laura, was really understand your base, understand your subscribers, understand your prospects. And when you guys started with your social media experiments, you know, especially over the past 6 months, did you guys just kind of guess at what people wanted and then today launch the online communication behavior survey? Or did you do an early survey and then this is a follow-up survey?
No, this is our first survey. So we kind of played around with it to see what people liked and what they responded to. And
okay.
Then, you know, this is our first, you know, test to say, okay, are we giving you what you want or should we change our ways?
Okay. Did you make anybody mad?
No, I don't I haven't heard of anything.
Okay.
But no, I think we're gaining our followers. I mean, with the Bruins too, we have a beat writer that goes into the locker room that tells you what's going on, like, behind the scenes. So it's fun for our Bruins fans. You know, we have the marketing voice on Twitter. We have our communications voice on Twitter, all within the same brand of the Bruins. So, you know, I think it's if people are going to follow you, they're going to on Twitter. They want to hear what you have to say. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
So and then the third thing I heard you say would be advice is you've got to keep them engaged. And the way you can tell that they're engaged, are they opening and are they clicking through? Because if they're not engaged, then you're not having a conversation and you're really just wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay. So were there any gotchas in the process?
I'm sorry. Say that again, Debbie.
Were there any gotchas that wow, did we mess up on that one?
You know, it's when you talk to, you know, when we send out every single piece of email communication that leaves this building. So it's up to my group to do the research to say, okay, this is, you know, this type of message is relevant for this type of segment within our database. You know, we try to segment our database as much as possible when we're sending these targeted email campaigns, as any other industry should, especially if you're trying to keep them engaged. What we're struggling with right now is why people are unsubscribing to our newsletter, to our any one of our subscription management programs. No, I haven't really said, okay, well, man, I shouldn't have sent that email message because it's not hurting us that much. What we have done, at least on the Bruins side of things, is that we've actually put a number, you know, a dollar figure against each engaged subscriber, part of our Cybear program. So we can say, you know, for each subscriber that comes on that is engaged, we get X amount of dollars from that person per year.
Excellent. And again, by quantifying that and making it part of your marketing goals and making it a metric, I think it helps people think differently around how they engage so that you can stop so many unsubscribes happening.
Right, right. So when we're looking at that unsubscribe count, when we go back to the marketing or communications group and say, hey, you know what, this message didn't really do you too well sending it out because we got 300 unsubscribes compared to, you know, this is how many you sent out, and this is your loss. In a weird kind of way, because they sent out this type of message through this channel, and that makes us happy that we're actually sending out this online behavior survey to actually support how we may end up changing our subscription management page.
Very interesting. I hadn't even thought about that angle before. Are you seeing, as people unsubscribe, that you can still engage with them in Twitter?
Well, that's what we're finding out through this, because through this survey, we're going to be able to see who is part of our subscription management that's also following us on Twitter, that is probably also part of our text messaging program. So we're going to be able to see the cross-pollination of how they communicate or how they pull information from us, to a point where we're asking, you know, do you go to our webpage every day? So if they do we even need to push that information to them via any other channel?
You know, Laura, this conversation kind of reminds a little bit of the early days of CRM, where what we were trying to do was to create that one view of the customer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just that one view so that we could, you know, sell to them in the right way. Well, really, what social media and multiple channels is forcing us to do now is exactly what you just said. I mean, maybe we don't need to be pushing them emails because maybe they come to our website every day. Or maybe they don't want to get emails because they're not supposed to be getting them at work and they just, you know, don't have something at night. But, you know, they're very engaged in Twitter. And to me, that is absolutely, completely fascinating. So understanding where and how people are interacting with us and how they want to communicate, it's just kind of like a little bit, it's like the wild, wild west of marketing. We don't know what's going to happen. We've never done it before. We can't predict it. I mean, nobody's been there and done that in this category yet. So to me, it's just a very, very exciting place to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
So So any last words for our marketers as you as they think about what you've said here? Any last sage pieces of advice?
You know, like I said earlier, I think the most important thing is the engagement of your subscribers. You know, and go through the practice of the managing their preference center, and at the same time, we're almost even starting what I'd like to internally call a drip campaign to say, okay, if they're not opening up your email, drop them off, make the phone call, say, hey, do you really want to be part of our subscription group? So you're getting good opens and click-through rates.
I think that's great advice. You can't do this stuff without technology, because you need the technology that's going to be able to see the behavior and then can report, can analyze and absolutely report on that behavior. So what are all the systems that you guys have wrapped together, Laura? What are all the different systems that you use?
Well, right now for our DBM, we use Eloqua. And then for our sales automation and system, we use Salesforce. But with them, they actually talk back and forth. So we use those two systems for internal, for our sales and marketing folks.
Okay, excellent. But do you pull information from any other systems as well? Like, for example, you have a feed into Eloqua from, like, your ticketing system, so you know what they bought in the past?
That's correct, yes. So we get daily feeds from our ticketing system. We are a Ticketmaster client, so we pull all our daily feeds right into Salesforce first, and then that data goes right into Eloqua. So, yes, systems is and I've been through five implementations here using different systems, from just a small access database to what we have today and everything in between. And, you got to find your right fit. I mean, you could be part of a small company that, access may do it for you, although you will need an email service provider for, all of the opt-out and deliverability and your sender reputation for them to help you out with all of that. But, you've got to find your right fit. And there are many, many firms out there right now that work with small companies to large companies. So.
Okay. So if anyone wants to ask Laura a question, the dial-in number is 646-478-5604 as well. Tom, we've got a few minutes left if you have any questions from the chat room. I typically start questions earlier. I just can't quit talking to Laura, because every time I ask her a question, I learn so much. So if we're waiting for callers, if we're waiting to get some questions from the chat room, Laura, let me ask you this. If you were to make any kind of predictions around social media and how it's used as a communication and how it's used as a marketing tool, what kind of prediction would you make?
Gosh, it's so tough because we're here so early in the game. But I really feel that it's more of how each person wants to receive their data, their information from what they're interested in. Myself, I go on there and I like to receive information if there's any type of new technology out there. If we're using systems like Eloqua, I'm going to follow anybody that is using Eloqua. So if they come up with the best new idea, I can put that right away into my business practices. So it's pretty much for me to get information quickly. And it's almost like a large chat room for who you choose to follow. So I see it more in that sense, especially for learning purposes.
I completely agree. I mean, everything is so new. It's like using the best of the community to educate each other, because stuff changes just about every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent. So, Tom, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me?
Tom? I can. This is Tom Kahana. Do you have any questions from the chat room?
I do. Actually, on a personal note, I have to say, as a Boston resident, I love the campaign, the Golden Ticket campaign. And unfortunately, I wasn't the winner. but if you'd like to give some out, I'd be more than happy to be a secondary winner. That being said, we do have a couple of questions. what do you think you'll be doing in the future with social media?
You mean Laura herself?
Yes.
Okay.
Myself on
Oh no, the Bruins and the Garden. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, from this survey, we're hoping to almost create a whole new subscription structure. So based off of the results, are we going to be able to say we're going to communicate breaking news only through text message and Twitter instead of sending out an email, because by the time it gets out on those channels, most people will know about it anyway? Are we going to send out human interest stories and just create our email marketing just as a newsletter and put in activity-driven content, i.e., you know, the content that you personally are looking to read, human interest? You know, I'm interested in let's just say the Bruins Ice Girls and the human aspect and if there's any player trades. So if I know that about a person, I'll be able to just put that right into their newsletter and then communicate up to the minute news through social networking and social media.
Great.
Okay. Anything else, Tom?
Yes. Someone asked, curious how many of the second chance people that texted in were already known to you guys in your database?
Oh, those were metrics that I'm going to have to give Debbie so she can push out to people. Debbie, do you have a way to do that? Yeah, through the...
I do. Yeah, we have a follow-up that we'll send out tomorrow. So if you've got those metrics,
yep,
we can send those out tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Okay, great. And how long did it take you to put in the subscription management program, and were you afraid that you'd lose any prospects along the way?
You know, there's always that chance of, you know, losing people along the way, especially if you're changing systems, because you need to establish a sender reputation right from the beginning. So there's always that initial drop-off. But at the same time, you are getting better data, better information, people that are engaged into your program. So, you know, there's pros and cons to starting that subscription management system from scratch and transitioning to a new system as well.
Great. Thank you.
Is that it, Tom?
That is.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And Laura, thank you so much. And I'll follow with you after the show. There's a couple things I'd love to push out to people, some of the metrics. But again, I think that what you and your team are doing is truly on the leading edge of demand generation marketing. And I sometimes when I talk to you, I get the sense that you're like, well, we're really not quite sure, and we're just kind of bumbling around. Oh, you guys are so far ahead of the majority of the marketers. And again, I think it has a lot to do with your attitude. You know, you saw social media as another channel and something important to explore, and you just started trying things, and you just began to experiment with things. And again, I personally can't wait to hear the results of the online communication behavioral survey that you guys have done.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see what kinds of changes that's going to make in your subscription management program. So again, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for having me. This was great. And if anybody has any other questions, Debbie, just be sure to shoot them off to me, and I can answer them as best I can.
Okay. Absolutely. If you guys have questions, you can email me, Debbie@PedowitzGroup.com, and I'll make sure that Laura gets those. So we have about 2 minutes. I always get it down to the wire. But next week, our guests, we actually have two guests next week. We've got Jim Kaner, who's the SVP of Sales and Marketing, and Heather Bennett, Director of Marketing. They're both at M5, and they're going to talk about a topic that I think, okay, there's my 90 seconds. That confounds a lot of marketers, and that's really, really effective lead nurturing programs. They have done a fantastic job. And again, I encourage all our listeners, if you have not registered for the DGE series, go ahead and do so. You can do that on our website, www.pedowitzgroup.com. It gives you access to all of the interviews that we had and all of the assets that we deploy in a Demand Generation Essentials Toolkit. So with that, everyone have a wonderful Thursday afternoon. And Laura, thank you so much, and I'll follow up with you, and we'll get some of those details pushed out to our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.